Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Focus of the message this morning is on John chapter 16. I'm going to focus in on verses 14 through 16. He, that is the Spirit, as Jesus is referring to him in his prayer, will bring glory to me, that is Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Now, I don't know about you, but those words really aren't crystal clear, are they? They are a little bit confusing. In fact, you could read through them probably six times, pick it apart, diagram the sentences, and still not quite know exactly what's going where. The way to understand that is through the Spirit. But let me give you a little bit of an illustration to maybe make you feel a little bit better. A young man wanted to learn how to fly fish. Now, if you've ever done it, it is not easy. There is a rhythm and there is a technique, and it takes a lot of practice before you can finally do it. Well, this young man took the class, and the instructor laid out all the equipment and all the books and all techniques and everything that he needed. And after quite a while of training and practicing and all of that, it was time. The class was done. And he said, just sort of as a matter of course, are there any questions before you go out and fly fish for the first time? Well, the young man that took the class responded by saying, sir, I've really appreciated this class. I think I get everything that's going on here, but I just have one question, and that is, what do you do when you catch the flies? If you ever feel like beating your head into the wall, maybe that's happened to you. You thought you were just crystal clear. You thought that you had laid everything out perfectly, that you couldn't have communicated it any better, and then the response is, what? They don't get it. Or just by what they're saying, you realize, yeah, it just didn't connect, just didn't come through. Jesus was used to that many times with his disciples. Many times throughout his ministry with people around him, he would say things and it just did not connect. And you'd think that after 3 years of being with Jesus, his disciples would have been just fine. But during his last hours with them as teacher, Jesus shared a lot with them about what was going to happen, about where things were going, about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he shares this with them, but sadly, they demonstrated by their words and actions that they just didn't get it, that the Trinity still remained a mystery to them. And we don't get him either. But God graciously opens up his classroom to us today as we sit into a desk in his classroom today so that we might know by faith and live by grace to praise our three-in-one God. As we take our seats in our desks today, please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. So I'm just going to do this real quick. I missed that slide. Technology. All right. Well, consider the words of our lessons for today from John. Again, the circumstances. Jesus is with his disciples. It's Maundy Thursday evening. He institutes his Holy Supper for them and future generations of believers. It's the night before Jesus will give his life on the cross. It is last will and testament time with the disciples. This is what Jesus is passing on to them and future generations. And he gives them a dump truck load full of information. Now, all of it is building on things that he had talked about with them over 3 years' time, but for whatever reason, they just don't get it yet. It is, though, kind of final exam time for them, and I apologize if any of you just broke out into a cold sweat with that phrase, final exam. All of us kind of tense up. because we don't want to have to do that. But for them, this is their final exam. Jesus gives them their last bit of cramming, and over the next 72 hours or more, they are really going to be put to the test. So let's be the correctors of their exams today and take a look at how they did. Now, it's one thing that you and I, if we don't know, can't explain the Trinity. I mean, that's nothing new. But on the eve of Jesus giving his life for ours on the cross, these are some of the basic questions that the disciples were still asking. Who are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? 3 years they'd spent with Jesus. He had made it very clear to them. But they're showing their understanding of the Trinity is about as well as a kindergartner understanding a physics lab at MIT. It just isn't there. Not only do they not understand the triune God, but keep in mind that they are in the process of disowning the triune God. John tells us that at this point in the evening, Judas has already left to sell his Savior and, quite frankly, his own soul to the chief priests and Pharisees. Jesus has already told Peter, over the next 12 hours, you will deny that you know me 3 times. Peter vehemently disagrees, but you know the story. You know how it goes. That's exactly what happens. Quite frankly, if you look at how they did on their exam over those hours, the disciples fleeing for their lives, they failed. They failed miserably. And there is no grading curve in the world that's going to cover up their utter failure. They have failed to know him, they've failed to obey him, and the consequence of their failure is not simply a do-over that you can make up. It's not even a repeat next year kind of thing. The problem is with their failure, with their sin, comes the eternal consequence of eternal death. Now, someone once said that a pastor is a dead man preaching to those who are dying. Now, that sounds very morbid, but there's a lot of truth to that, because we know that there is nothing good that lives in us. By nature, we are, as the Lord describes, dead in sin. And the humbling phrase reminds us that if we were to have our final exam graded, we didn't do any better, huh? We too have failed. We have failed to know our triune God, and we demonstrate it regularly. How often have you been asked by someone to share, as Peter puts it, the hope, the reason for the hope that you have? And how do you respond? Do you try to get out of the conversation as quickly as possible because it just makes you uncomfortable? I think that often happens, doesn't it? And it's not because we're ashamed of Jesus. That really isn't the problem. I think it's just that we don't know him as well as we think we should. We don't know him as well as we'd like. And so what ends up happening is we try to get out of it, we try to move away from it, because we're not confident in what we know. We have failed to know the triune God. Now all of a sudden, those questions that the disciples asked on Monday, Thursday don't seem so far away, huh? Who are you? What are you doing? Where are you going? They seem basic, but are you willing to give the answers to those questions in any and in every and any circumstance? And as far as failing to obey the triune God, I invite you to take your red hymnal, open to page 156. Page 156 in the front part. You'll see at the top it says, Personal Preparation for Holy Communion. We encourage those who participate in Holy Communion to ask such questions of themselves, but look at the second letter A. It says, I should examine myself according to the Ten Commandments and ask how well I have carried out my responsibilities as a husband or wife or single person, as a parent or child, employer or employee, a teacher or student. Have I loved God with all my heart, gladly heard his word, patiently endured affliction? Have I been disobedient, proud, or unforgiving? Have I been selfish, lazy, envious, or quarrelsome? Have I lied or deceived, taken something not mine, or given anyone a bad name? Have I abused my body or permitted indecent thoughts to linger in my mind? Have I failed to do what is right and good? And the answers are all yes, 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 and yes. We have failed to obey the triune God. And just like those disciples, the grade is an F. It is a complete and utter failure. All of a sudden, Peter, disowning Jesus in the high priest's courtyard, doesn't seem so far away. You know, when a child disobeys, one of the most natural forms of punishment is to take something away from the child. We hear parents saying, "Stop doing that, or I'm going to take it away." We've all probably been on the receiving end of that. Something was taken away because we weren't using it properly. Well, because of our sin, God has properly taken away our status as his children, as his heirs of eternal life. We've lost our relationship with him. We've lost the blessings of his kingdom. But Jesus, promised, the promised Son of God, was born into this world to restore what we had lost. And it all begins right at the cross. I mean, rightfully, we identify Jesus and the cross as the greatest importance because of what he did there. He took away the penalty for our sin. John testifies to the saving death of Jesus when he points to him and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But it's equally as important to look beyond the cross as well. In contrast to our disobedience, Jesus' ministry on this earth is sandwiched between two statements of approval from God the Father. He says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus, perfect obedience. John reminds us that the relationship and blessings of being connected to God the Father were restored through what Jesus himself did. Jesus puts it this way in our text for today: "All that belongs to the Father is mine." This was no easy thing. I remember when it first came out, 1950, Disney's Cinderella, just to refresh your memories a little bit here this morning. See how this goes.
"You are the only ladies of the household, I hope, I presume."
"There's no one else, Your Grace."
"Quite so. Good day. Good day."
"Your Grace! Your Grace! Please, wait! May I try it on?"
"Oh, pay no attention to her.
It's only Cinderella."
"Ah, scullery.
From the kitchen.
It's ridiculous. Impossible.
She's out of her mind."
"Yes, yes, just an imaginative child."
"Madam, my orders were every maiden." "My child."
"Oh, no! Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no. Oh, this is terrible.
The king, what will he say?
What will he do?
But perhaps if it would help..."
"No, no, nothing can help now. Nothing."
"But you see, I have the other slipper."
Little trip down memory lane this morning. But it illustrates a point, doesn't it? Just as we're looking for the one foot to perfectly fill that slipper, God the Heavenly Father, scouring the earth, looking for one person to perfectly fulfill his will, and there's no one but his only begotten Son, God the Son. God finally finds his own image perfectly reflected in his Son. And then, fitting perfectly into God's image, God the Father gives all things to God the Son. It's a beautiful story. But all of this would be just a story if it weren't for the fact that God now takes what has been perfectly worn by the Son and fits it to us by faith. It's as if that glass slipper has suddenly become a universal fit, one size truly fits all, available for everyone by the grace of God through the Son, Jesus Christ, by the work of the Spirit that is within them. Jesus puts it in our lesson this way: He, the Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. And you remember how the disciples struggled. Even after being carefully instructed by Jesus for 3 years, they did not understand, they did not obey God, and God was standing right there in front of them, teaching them. And yet their disbelief, even after being taught by God himself, helps us to understand the depths of our spiritual blindness, our indifference, our desire to just leave it to somebody else to take care of. And the answer that even Jesus, the perfect Son of God, turns to says, He, the Spirit, will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Doubt and disobedience are overcome by the work of the Spirit who teaches us about Jesus. The Holy Spirit at work in us announces and reminds and teaches and convicts just as He would live with them and be in them. So He takes the things that were impossible to us and makes them possible through His tools of grace. And that's where getting the Trinity all comes down to this. Because you see, getting the Trinity isn't about illustrations, it isn't about explanations, it isn't about analogies, it isn't about getting how the Trinity works. The getting to be got when it comes to the Holy Trinity is about understanding what the Trinity does for you. You don't have to understand the mechanics of a piano to enjoy the beautiful music that it makes. You don't have to understand how the Trinity works between Father, Son, and Spirit. You just rejoice in the beauty as He works in your heart and in your life. That is the getting to be got. And I know we'll still have questions. They will still creep about our minds. We will still find ourselves wondering and waiting until that moment of perfect clarity when you and I are welcomed into the realms of heaven and everything is, oh, because we finally get it. But for now, we rejoice in His grace, we reside in His arms, we rely on His promises, and we respond with His praises. Because we worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.